Welcome to the Market Mystics Podcast. I'm Joshua.
I'm Kim. Let's dive in. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We are so glad you're here. We have an awesome, awesome guest today, and I kind of can't wait to dive into this conversation.
Yeah, I agree. Today, we are joined by Deanne Kay. And this was just kind of a fun, like, God connection, maybe. We connected through the podcast and Deanne reached out and we had a conversation. We're like, yeah, this sounds great. And so here we are. Deanne, welcome to the Market Mystics.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here and see what the Lord's got for us.
Yeah.
Too. Hey, can you tell us, how did you come across our show? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. So I have some friends here in Northern California who call themselves Mystic Christians. And then at some point they said, oh, you've got to just check out this channel. They're talking about different kinds of money and how the kingdom is going to work with this new money. And then when I started checking out more of your talks, I'm like, this isn't about money. They're not all about money, that's for sure.
I love it. Yeah. It's been a journey. That's what I'll say about that.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. I'm super glad you're here. Can you tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Mm-hmm. So I'm a newer Christian. It's been about a year and a half, but I'm not new to faith and devotion. So but I was raised without any religion in my home, just a lot of dysfunction, like so many of us, and lots of pain through losing my father, and my mom was traumatized through his sudden death, and there was no healing going on. But I was just wired. I needed to heal. I needed to find out the meaning of my life and what everything was about. So I was exploring various kinds of religions, but didn't really fix myself on anything. So I would just travel. I traveled quite a bit around the world, starting when I was 20, and just kind of kept that up throughout most of my life. But it was in my early 30s, when I was living in Budapest, Hungary, teaching English, that I got introduced to a yoga master and going to classes. And then I started to get involved with that. And that seemed to answer a lot of questions that I had at the time. And so I was heavily involved with that, going to seminars, doing various kinds of yoga, breathing and meditation and serving, because that was a big part of it. And I was involved with that for a good 25 years. The last 5 years of it, I was starting to pull back more. It wasn't working for me as much. And then at some point when I decided I needed to leave my marriage and just travel more and see what's going on in the world, especially around 2020, things just started to really not make sense. So then I started traveling across country and I was hoping to find farms that I could find a farm that I could settle down in and grow my own food and be part of a community. And I joined a couple organizations to help me do that as I traveled across the country. But after about a month at places that I stayed, it's like, no, this isn't working. Got to keep moving. I'm like, okay, my people are out there somewhere. but it took me to Northern California, which I was never planning on coming way out here. And then I was in Redding and I was in an Airbnb en route to my next farm. And then I just started to be more open to things here. And it was really beautiful. It's different from any other churches I've gone to before. And I haven't gone to a lot, but I've maybe about 20 churches and services, but I mean, when I've traveled, I've always been drawn to cathedrals because they're so beautiful and peaceful. But I was visiting this church, and then I made a couple friends, but then I had to leave to go to this homestead farm. And during that time, I was there for about a week, and it just was not feeling good. And then one night I had a tremendous amount of pain in my heart, of loneliness, hopelessness, and despair. And I was trying all my mantras that I knew, burning incense and just praying for the atmosphere to shift, and nothing was happening. And I knew what it was like for people to be on the edge of suicide, but a part of me was also witnessing this at the same time. But then I called one of the friends I had made here, and she said, "Deanne, this sounds like a witchcraft attack." And I'm like, "What? That sounds ridiculous." But we prayed to have it to go in Jesus's name, and everything shifted. And I could feel the presence of Jesus sitting on my bed, and then I fell asleep. And then I knew that I was going to have to leave this place, and I knew where I needed to go. I needed to come back up here. And I met my friend. We went to the evening church service, and everything was just like I was having all this encounter, these beautiful feelings flowing throughout my body and answering of questions. One of the questions that came to me, or the answers that said, "Don't focus on all this hearsay around Jesus. Just focus on the teachings of the gospel and his words." And it was, I was just elevated up to a heavenly realm, felt so much love, and just was like, "Oh, God is real. God is real." And it was just, it was so beautiful. It was really so beautiful. And I feel like all these years of prayer and meditation and emptying myself of all the healing work that I've done of my emotional wounds, I was so ready to be filled, and the Holy Spirit filled me. And then that night when I made it back to where I was staying, I was in heaven, just feeling bliss, love, and joy for throughout the night and into most of the next day. And I remember just in awe of it. It was so beautiful. And at some point, I could really feel my spirit lifted up out of my body and transported through some energetic portal and placed down in new ground. And then I felt so much more anticipation. It's like, wow, life is worth living. There's something here. Something's going to happen. And the Lord was showing me visions of my future. And I'm like, what? Really? There's going to be this much continual joy in helping people? Because it's been a lifelong goal of mine. I just want to help people heal their pain and just find more joy in life. But I was lacking it until that encounter with Jesus. So, but interestingly, I think that vision could have lasted a lot longer, but my mind got involved. It was like, wait a minute, I can't do that. How am I going to do this? I was trying to manage it rather than surrender and let him do it. And that's still been something I'm still toying with, or I don't want to say wrestling with as much. He's been working with me on this, but you know, I've been self-reliant most of my life, but I'm ready to live it, let him take control of it more. It's so much easier. So, and then after that, I mean, I've had other encounters, but I've just stayed here. I just knew I was supposed to stay here, learn more about Christianity. I've met so many people in different faces of Christianity, met people who are healing their pain and others who don't. And so it's just been, I feel like a lot of it is I've been just learning and watching and waiting and contributing here and there, but you know, visiting other churches and seeing how they do their rituals or have a personal relationship with God. It really just depends. So just a lot of learning and a lot of reading and just really feeling the healing that's gone even deeper than all the healing work I've done. With Jesus, it can go as deep as you need it. So that's it. for where I am today. There's a lot more we can go deeper into, I'm sure. So
awesome. I want to ask you a question that we ask a lot of our guests who come on. So if someone was to be talking about you and describing you, how would you want to be known? What would you want them to say about you?
She loves freedom, truth, love, and loves the Lord for sure. Before the Lord, it was truth and freedom. And Jesus is that truth and freedom. And endurance, a lot of endurance for that truth and freedom. So, yeah, and it's catchy. When I talk about the Lord, I love to give that out to others because he's just filled so much for me. It's just beautiful.
I love that. Love it. So can you tell, I kind of want to talk about some of your history combined with where you are now, if mm-hmm. that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, as someone who's kind of been in some Christian circles for a while and even transitioning from what is more traditional, like evangelical, to more of the mystic movement, there's a lot of stigma that gets put on yoga and meditation, which is an interesting thing because it's all throughout scripture. Right. But as someone who knows it so deeply and so well, can you talk about that a little bit? Are you still able to practice any of those things? Are you still doing that? Do you think it's a helpful tool? Do you think it's not? Can you just maybe shed some light on your perspective on that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, because meditation has been an important part of my life, even before I got involved with yoga, just to reduce the stressful thoughts and to just be in an atmosphere of peace. So I have really appreciated all of these supernatural encounters and the beautiful worship music, the prophetic words that are happening here. But it also struck me, where's the silence? Where is the silence? And I've heard some pastors say, when I've listened online, not so much here in the churches I've gone to, but that, you know, we have to be careful because meditation invites in demonic spirits. And it really depends on how we are with God. The more we're filled with his holy presence, there is no room for them. And right. I had this vision, it was about a couple weeks ago, that why my encounter was so profound. I feel like whatever previous influences there were in my life from yoga, they know the hierarchy and they just said, oh, he's the real master. It's time for us to go. And then I could just be filled. Now, the stuff that has lingered for me is this abandonment spirit, this orphan spirit that hit me when I was young. So that's the thing that I'm still trying to receive or open myself more to the Lord. But the more we're filled, there's not room for these demonic influences. And the kind of meditation I was practicing, we had a mantra. It was a Sanskrit mantra. And the mantras, I mean, I've learned several mantras over the years, but mine was, there's let the fear, the doubt, and the darkness be removed from me. And so that the light of God can fill me. So it was all about slowing the mind down to focus on this prayer so that we could be more relaxed. But in that process, I mean, you start to see that the so many thoughts that we have, but we also develop a witness consciousness so that I am not these thoughts. I am not these thoughts. I am light. So we can let them go so they don't hold us as much. and then focus on a prayer. You can do the same thing in Christianity because meditation is all throughout the scripture. And when we can have our mind slowed down and focused on a scripture, then there comes a point where, oh, I think I can just let it go and just feel my body, feel my breath, feel the presence of God filling me. And that's divine. That is really, really divine. So yeah, it'd be my wish that more people would entertain that. There's also another component which makes it hard for us, and that's our emotional wounding. If we haven't been healing our wounds, then they come up when we try to meditate. And then it can be a very frustrating experience. But a lot of my life has been about healing my wounds. And so that when things would come up, I could look at them differently. Like it's, oh, this is something else I haven't healed. Oh, I'm feeling pity here. Okay, you can take it. So I was giving it to a higher power. I was involved with 12-step Anon programs for several years. And that is a brilliant program for healing. So that with Jesus, it's even, man, you go so much deeper. And it's so much more beautiful. So I just feel if we can heal our pain, and we can, we have to stop blaming, and we have to be able to see where our wounding needs to be healed. And Jesus is working with a lot of us on it. I'm around so many people that we're doing it in a healthy way. So we heal this pain. We get a sense of, oh, this is energy that needs to be released. I need to grieve it. I need to heal it. I need to give it to Jesus. And then feel the peace that comes from that and the grace of God and his whispers. Then it's no doubt when it's God as opposed to a demonic spirit. Then we can discern more what's influencing us. So it's a... I highly encourage people to try it. Heal your wounds and sit quietly. You know, in the beginning when I was doing meditation, I couldn't sit for very long, but now it's easier for me. And I love to feel the Lord in it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to feel him, you know, even listen to music and then turn it off. And just, what do you have to tell me, Lord? And it's usually beautiful stuff. If there's anything negative, it's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. So yeah, I'm hoping there'll be these misconceptions will gradually be working them their way out. Because there are other Christians I know who can sit and feel the presence of God. It's not all bad. It's not all bad.
You mentioned your initial experience where you just felt like the presence of Jesus sit on your bed and kind of that that very transformative moment. And even through meditation, you've talked about turning the music off and just feeling this. And I wondered if you would just touch on where the spiritual has become physical for you. Like where it's more than just a good idea that you had, but something you can feel in your body. Like that seems like part of your story is I've had these experiences and they're real. I wondered if you would just touch on that for a moment.
Yeah. And I go back to that night after I got saved where I could feel my spirit lifted up, and that was palpable. And I feel it was being able to sit for so many years and so many hours, I can really feel the presence of my body. I can feel the circulation. I can feel energy in my hands. And I can feel when there's a divine presence around. I don't see as much. I can just feel it. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it's all those years of prayers and sitting quietly and fasting. I had lots of fasting as well. So feeling hunger and not reacting to it, feeling fear and not jumping to fix it. 12 step also helped me a lot with that as well, being able to identify and see it separate from myself. So it's a combination of these things. It's the years of meditation, the fasting, the 12 step healing work, and not living a reactionary life. And I had a healing several months ago, about 10 months ago, where I had a side pain from having played Ultimate Frisbee. And I pulled a muscle and I could feel it was getting worse at some point. And then I had some healing around it where I could really feel that my muscles were being rewired. And I was lying on my bed, just breathing. And then I could feel the Lord was like working it through for me because I was totally surrendered. And it also involved some more healing as well of touching into the vulnerability I felt by having this injury. And what am I going to do? How am I going to survive? I've got to work. And then I was weeping, and then the healing came even more. So I was healing another layer that was hindering me. And I think through that healing, I had that miraculous physical healing. It seemed to go hand in hand. And I can sense atmospheres when I go into rooms as well. I can feel when somebody's really holding on to stuff, because I did that for years. I held on to stuff. I could be resentful, unforgiving. So I can sense when other people are doing that as well. So yeah, generally I'm a hearer, and I think I hear the Lord more through all the years of being quiet, but I can also feel as well. I would love to see these angels that some people are telling me, but I'm like, I don't see them, but something's great going on here. You know? Yeah.
I think that's important though, to bring to people's attention. We've talked about it before on the show, but you know, you hear stories of people who saw something happen and it creates a mindset of, well, if I don't function that way, then I'm not doing something right. But, you know, just like you have senses in your body that are not just sight, there's other ways that you can connect with heaven. And it doesn't mean that you can't work to develop some of the other senses as well. But like the one that's the most open, I think, is the one that God is going to use first, because his desire is relationship and connection.
Mm-hmm. And when I go to church and we're all worshiping and we're lost in this beautiful atmosphere or when it's groups, a lot of the time I do there for a while and then, okay, it's time to sit. And I see that there's other people sitting quietly, but it's just not very common. And that's something I wrote about in my book. Oh, I should show that. This is my book. There's a chapter in here about inviting in silence. And there's a part where I says, if you aren't lost in a daze or blissfully reaching up to heaven for something more from God, nothing is wrong with you. Perhaps like me, you can be comfortable with silence and stillness. You don't need any dramatic encounters to keep your attention, even though I'm definitely open to that. So it's more like when we are quiet, we let the grace of silence in and we harmonize our spirit with God. And yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So let's talk about your book. You wrote this book. Tell us the title of it.
It's called More Than a Christian, A Guide for Experiencing God's Glory Beyond the Mainstream. And this was definitely a God thing. I even had somebody have prophetic words over me. I see a book. I'm like, I don't see a book. But it was like months later, I had been writing for a website, and a lot of the articles around emotional healing and my travels fit into this book. So it made sense that it would happen this way. But the introduction is, why is it More Than a Christian? Well, you know, and I entered into Christianity through Bethel Church, which is a revivalist culture. And I didn't know it wasn't normal. I thought it was normal, but it's not normal. But this title came to me one morning, and it's like, More Than a Christian? How can we be more than a Christian? Well, if we are doing healing work, healing our wounds, that's something beyond, it can be considered beyond the mainstream, because people like to blame and complain. And that's not been my habit, but I still see it around there. And then if we want to deprogram what we think about ourselves and how we feel, and change from blaming and complaining to what's in me that I need to give up, that's one part of the puzzle, that we are becoming deeper or are more mature Christians. Mm-hmm. And the other part of my book is about my journey to the Lord, and part of the 25 years in yoga and with a guru, an Indian guru, and then the miracles that have come since accepting Jesus. And so I write about miracles I've had and so many other miracles that I've seen. Then the third part of my book is on deprogramming, which involves invite silence in, because you'll see that what we think is important is not as important. There's a part where I mentioned in the book, sometimes you meditate on food because it's the only thing you think about. And other times you realize it's not important right now. I can just be present here and receive whatever God's going to give me. And then it's also about looking at our world differently, because in the kingdom of darkness, it's the lies are prolific. And we've accepted a lot of lies told about us as individuals, as human beings, that we're not children of God necessarily. And we've also been told lots of lies about our world that we have accepted as truth. And in my travels and my research, I'm like, these don't add up. So if you're more than a Christian, you're healing your pain and you're looking at the lies to find what's really true. And that makes us lean into Jesus even more. Mm-hmm. He's our foundation, not the world, not social media, not what others tell us about ourselves, not what we've even been told about our history. There's just so many things about history I've learned that is not true, based on my travels and then talking with people who are local. So when we're uncovering the lies, we're going deeper, and we become beloved children of God the more we remove these lies. I was in, when I went to church service some weeks ago, I was kind of half asleep in the service because it had not been a great night. But at some point, my eyes opened and the pastor stepped forward and he said, "If you believe a lie, you empower the liar." And I'm like, yes, that's what I've been writing about. And it's like, that's what I came for church to hear. I needed that confirmation from this pastor. So, yeah. And it's a process, but it's a beautiful process with Jesus. It's really, and he can take us as deep as we want to go. Seek and we find. Seek and we find. And I've been a seeker most of my life. And he was showing me that he wanted to use all that I've been doing around my healing and my traveling. And I tell you, a lot of the times I've had to keep it to myself because people aren't interested in these things. And some people don't want to talk about healing. I mean, we get a number of people that do, but he just said, I'm going to use this. you're going to use it? Nobody cares. But some people do care, but we're spread all over the world. It seems like the people that I connect with online in regard to deprogramming from our world. So more than a Christian. Yeah. Yeah. We can always go deeper with him. Always go deeper.
So good. So very good. I love the concept of the deprogramming. We've talked a lot about that, maybe minimally on the show, a lot in our personal conversations, but there really is. And I think that's why the journey is so beautiful, is because, yes, the world teaches you all sorts of things and tells you things about yourself that you hold as truth. But when you engage in that relationship, like you're talking about with Yeshua and with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit, then that's when they can really start shedding light on what is really true and what really is steadfast and what has been placed on you that doesn't belong there. And I think that's one of the most beautiful parts of the journey, is kind of being able to discover what is the truth that's been hidden there all along, you know, and being able to uncover that. And, you know, there are things, and I'm sure you found this too, there are things that are, they're placed within you, like before you're even born, right? Before you ever come to this planet. And there's a process of uncovering them. And when you hear it, you know it's true. And it's always been sitting there, right? Have you experienced this at all? Yes.
Repeatedly. So I'm one of these people that have explored the shape of our world, explored the shape of Earth. And it's not what they tell us. And, you know, I'm not going to stand up and say, it's this, it's flat, it's this. I just know it's not what they tell us. And they will spend millions and billions of dollars to convince us of a lie. And I, when I have shifted my awareness about where we are, it's very unsettling. But if you do it with Jesus, you can do it, and you deepen your connection with him. I was just watching something the other day about there in regard to the shape of our world. There's Eric Dubé, and he's quite well known within the circles about uncovering the science behind our world. And then I was so relieved after I came to Christianity that there's a Christian organization called Celebrate Truth, that they go all into why they are lying to us about where we are. They use scientific facts as well as biblical. And this is not something I talk to a lot of people about, because I'm tired of the eyes rolling and the smirks and, oh, it's not important. Jesus has got everything. But then why has he placed this so deep in me? And my travels have shown me also that the architecture has been used in the past for something different. So, and I'm just totally convinced of it, totally convinced. But my thing also with the book is I don't tell anybody what to believe, but I give them resources. Before you dismiss something, check this out. Give it 15, 20 minutes, listen to what they have to say and see if you can shift. And I watched a video the other day about how it's the sun that's moving over us. And they did it in such a beautiful way. I like, oh, wow, it's the sun that's moving. We're immovable. And even this was in the scriptures, that we're on an immovable earth and that there's corners and the edges. And it's so interesting, because when I first came to the Lord, I'm like, oh, please, can I just forget about all this stuff? It's just too much. Nobody cares. And there was a grace period for about 3 months, just dive into Christianity. It's okay. But then he started to say, no, I want you to visit this. There's a reason for it. And then I would go to certain parts in the Bible. It's like, wait a minute, this is confirming there's edges of the earth. Maybe it's symbolic. This one's saying that there's an immovable earth. I'm like, maybe there's some truth to this. So my thing is, keep your mind open. Our world is not what we've been taught. And that's a big theme in my book. We are so much more than we currently believe. And our world is assuredly not what we've been taught. And there's a whole agenda around the deception. It's basically to remove us from our identity of being beloved children of a loving Father God. Mm-hmm. And the more I get insights as to where we are and what's going on and who we were in a previous civilization that built all of these amazing structures, there's God in that. There is God in that. And the kingdom of darkness doesn't want us to know who we are. There's just no way. You know, they're going to do whatever they can. And we take it hook, line, and sinker because we are bombarded with propaganda. We're bombarded with lies. We're told what is beautiful in this world. You know, we have to dye our hair, whiten our teeth, the thigh gap. Now it's thick thighs. And it is just insanity. It is insanity. Yeah. And how we buy into these lies, and that's going to keep us in a relationship with our husband or our wife. No, it's an intimate, loving relationship with God working with us that's going to save our marriage, not how we dress ourselves and stuff. And this is not really anything new, but I do still meet some people who believe these lies, and it saddens me. Yeah. It really saddens me that God loves us just as we are. And as we have a deeper connection with the Holy Trinity, man, the beauty that can come from friendships and a relationship, it's beautiful. Because I've met people in relationships who have gotten through the hard times, and they tell me that. I just know my life is better. Way better with Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
So good.
So we have, I want to say, like, veered a little bit in our podcast structure to where we don't talk about finances as much as we did our whole first year. But I'm just curious, in all of your world travels, in all of your experiences with faith, like, what has your experiences with Holy Spirit and with God shifted your perspective on finances, or like, have you seen miracles happen within that realm?
There are no miracles happening with me in finances, because he wants me to totally rely on him. And I remember early on saying, okay, that's fine. I'll give you everything, but let's not touch my bank account. Okay. Because, you know, I've been pretty self-reliant most of my life. Yeah. I had to be and that's how I gained my identity, was around work and money. And I didn't make a lot, but it gave me a sense of security. But a lot of things have not been working out for me financially, because he really wants me to totally trust him. And I keep getting those reminders of, I've got you. You're my beloved daughter. Things are going to shift. Do you trust me? And yeah, so I've heard countless stories of people having financial breakthroughs. And people just giving somebody $10,000 here, or, you know, $100 here, and mission trips being funded by somebody $5,000. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. He's not doing that for me yet. And I understand why. And it's, at some points, it's been really grueling, but it has influenced me to lean more deeply into him, to know. And almost every day I run into somebody who says, he's got you, Deanne. He just wants you to go a little bit deeper in trust. I'm like, yeah, I've heard it. He loves me. Okay. You know? And that's why I really love that talk you had with Chris Blackaby, because I've loved his stories of traveling and, you know, up into the last minute, you know, things coming through. And I've just always been good with my money. I don't spend a lot. I don't need a lot. But things, it needs to shift at some point. Sure. It does have to shift. And I just keep reminding myself, he's got me. He's got me. And I know this is a deep-seated stronghold from not having a loving father growing up. I just had to tough it out and start taking care of myself. And yeah, I really want to be on that other side of total trust in him. And I have seen it in so many people around me. And it's beautiful. And I'm like, yeah, I want that. I know I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. One woman just said the other day, Daddy's got us. I'm like, yeah, he does. Okay. That's all I need to hear, you know?
Oh, I love that. I have to tell you, you're not alone. Josh and I have both been on similar journey, not the same journey, with some of this. And you know, one of the things that really came out of it for, I would say us, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Josh, is that what the father was really wanting to do, it wasn't even that he wanted complete reliance upon him. At least in my situation, it wasn't that I wasn't relying on him, but it was that I was seeking my value to be defined by something else.
Yes.
And he took me through a solid 3 years, solid 3 years of stripping all of that away. And it wasn't so that I would rely more fully on him. It was so that I would find myself more fully in him. You know, and it was so that I would seek my value from what he says and not by some definition that the world has set. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting thing because we do talk about finances on this and we are very called to finances, which is a funny thing. But this is part of the process is he's been like redefining and shifting. How do you define value? Do you think I made you purely to hold money that has nothing to do with it? Mm-hmm. That may be a function, but it is not the identity. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
That's the other lie we're believing, you know, right? That this money is part of our identity. It shows our value. And it's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a lie, but it's a deep-seated one. It's going to go. It's going to go because really the kind of struggle and survival mode that we've been in, it just doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel like that's how we're supposed to live.
It's true.
It hasn't most of my life, but I really feel it like now. Mm-hmm. And one woman said, we are workers or we're employees of God. He's taking care of us. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll need to hear it as many different ways and as many times as I can until it's like rock solid.
Yeah.
He's our foundation.
For sure. And I think one of the places that I've found so much value is in having conversations and making connections with other people. Like, do you know how much value lies in his creation? That has nothing to do with gold. Gold is a wonderful, beautiful element. It is, but there's so much more. And even just in humanity and the connection and the energy that gets exchanged and the love that can be exchanged between two people, because you're both connected to the Father. Like there's just such value in some of this stuff. And that's a tip of the iceberg of what I've been learning with some of that stuff. But, I guess I'm just saying all of this. I hope that's encouraging to you because that's what he's been doing, at least with me. And I know that it's not It's not a reliance thing. It's an identity thing.
Yeah, that's a good shift. Again, that identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does help. And I hope this helps a lot of other people, because I know, I definitely know I'm not the only one dealing with it. And you know, how much we are rooted in the money game, it is connected to how our lives have been and how much, how many lies we've believed and circumstances of our life. So it's not unique to us. It just plays out a little bit differently. And he can redeem it. He can turn it all around. He can turn it all around. And yeah, the more I feel the love of God in me, it's like, why would he want me to struggle? Why? Mm. Why? Yeah. And I just think of all my travels across the country. It was basically to finally see him here when I came here. Another interesting thing in my story was when I started traveling across country, one of the first places I stayed in was at an Airbnb in Eastern Montana. And there was a couple there that they're Christians. And I really enjoyed talking with them. There was so much love in their home. And actually, when I left, I was crying because feeling like, wow, these are great people. And they gave me a Bible, the Passion Translation of the Bible. And they said, please take this. It's in the introduction is written by one of our favorite pastors. We studied at his church years ago as students in Bethel Supernatural School of Ministry. His name's Bill Johnson. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then it's when I was coming back to Reading here after that witchcraft attack, I'm like, oh, that's where part of the key started, meeting this couple who had studied here years ago, and they give me the Passion Bible. Oh. And here was another thing. After I got saved and I started reading the Bible, the words came off the page. And that's almost like another initiation I've heard other people say. When you're getting the Holy Spirit involved in your reading of the Bible, the words come up off the page. Because I'd read through the Bible before and it didn't really do much for me. But when you get that touch from the Holy Spirit, the Bible comes alive.
That's true.
Comes alive.
That's fun. Well, here's another fun connection for you. The guy who is the lead translator of the Passion Translation calls his hometown where we live. So he's connected, like not personally with us, but connected geographically to this area.
Uh-huh. Nice.
So it's just a fun, another connection.
Yeah. Yeah. God is good.
Agreed. Okay. Well, Deanne, thank you so much for being on today. I'm just really grateful that I don't know what prompted you to reach out to us, but I'm really grateful that you did, because this has been such a life-giving time with you. And I really appreciate you. I honor you, and even just being willing to share some of your testimony and some of your journey, some of your struggles, some of your passions, all of the things. I think it brings life, and I think that's important, and you carry value.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. I love sharing my testimony. I love it. I'm so grateful that God finally got me in a non-performance way. God is real. God is experiential. He cares for us. He wants us in his life. He wants to be part of our lives. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful journey. And I feel like there's so much more ahead of me to discover his mercy and his grace and his love. Yeah. I'm just glad to talk with you about it.
Love it. Well,
yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Awesome. Guys, listeners, we appreciate you being on this journey with us as well. We will tag out in the show notes how to get in contact with Deanne, whether through her website, where to find her book, and some other resources as well. So until next time, we'll see you. Hey, thanks for listening. Keep up with us along this journey by liking, subscribing, and becoming a member through YouTube.
Members get exclusive access to bonus content with our guests, deeper dives into topics, and a look into other projects. We're glad to have you here. See you next time.